We want to report to you about the trip to India, and I don't know if you can see any of those. Those are pretty dark, some of those photos. Hope some of the others are better for you. The trip was a bit longer than I've made in the past, October 16th through the 14th. And Brother Mark Smith, who held our gospel meeting, was there. I met him, I was with him the last better than half of the time there. Brother Steve Wallace and Brother John Gentry, we also had a chance to work some together, and I'll relate some of that to you as we go through the trip. I must say that this trip was one of the most diverse I've made so far, just because of going to different places that I've not been previously and a variety of opportunities that presented. And I'm excited about that. I hope you'll see that as well, and be interested in that from this way, from this trip, and hopefully, Lord willing, future work. I certainly would be amiss if I didn't thank the many helpers that were along the way that helped me and Mark and others. Of course, all here who helped while I was away. I appreciate that so much. The support of the elders and the brethren to teach and preach. Your prayers, your interest, it means a great deal, and I value that and thank God for it and thank you for that. The brethren who supported me in the work, of course, I'm thankful to God for that. I appreciate their devotion and their sacrifice to help me go and do this work. There Brother Chela Thangam, a translator for me during a lot of the trip. Brother Joshua Mahindranath in Bangalore and Brother Bal Swami. Again, helped a great deal, as they always do and have. Brother Dina Dow, who helped translate for almost 2 weeks' worth of work. And Brother Lennon Babu, Brother Francis, Brother Rayudu, Brother Yesaratnam, and the list goes on. A lot of brethren in India that were very helpful to myself and to Mark, to Brother Steve and Brother John. And we're so very thankful for that. Now, as I mentioned, Acts 21, understand, I think it's entirely proper and right and good for us to report like this on work that's done. To make the emphasis, as is made in the Scripture, that Paul detailed those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. Understand, it's not my work. It's not Dan's work. It's not Bobby's work. It's not Mark's work. It's the Lord's work. And we're just servants, just trying to teach His Word, encourage and exhort the brethren. And if anyone has an idea that it's Joe's work, then please correct them. Please don't think that. I don't think you'd think that way, but you know, I actually read of one criticism while I was in India from a brother who criticized the way that I was going about the work in India, and that's okay. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, but it's not my work, and it's the Lord's work, and we're just doing the best we can with the opportunities we have to teach, and I think it's right to now come back and report the work God has done. And the work God's doing through His gospel and through His people that we've been fortunate enough to have a part in. What I'd like to do is to go through the places with you a little bit, familiarize you with that a little bit, tell you a little bit as we go through that, but then come back and spend a little more time on the audiences and the messages, and then some other lessons, some other things we did, and some desires for the future at least. Went to 4 different states in India, and I don't know, I forget now how many states there are. You take time to count all those. I think it's upwards of 20 plus states in India. But I went to 4 states, 15 different places, and visited 13 different churches during the month that I was gone and there. The first state I went to was Tamil Nadu. It was a new place for me. I'd never been there before. And spent October the 18th through the 25th there, and arrived actually about 3:30 a.m. on the 18th in Chennai, and rested some, met with some of the brethren, met Brother Chela there, who lives there, and he traveled with me and was my translator down to that night. We flew to Madurai, and and I was there for till the 25th, and in that area. This is new territory, and territory that was visiting a number of congregations that were in the sphere and are in the sphere of institutionalism. And so, and more on that later. My first place was about, I think it was 2 hours, hour and a half, a 2 hour trip, Periopolum, and visited the congregation there, about 2 hours outside of Madurai. And the next day, after that day, we traveled back and forth. We came back staying in Madurai. Trouble saying that word. Visited the congregation here, and I'll attempt it for apologium. On the 20th, we had a preacher meeting. It was about 25 preachers, and there were men who traveled from down here, way down to the south, and also up here in the northern area. So they gathered. We got about 25 men and spent the day with them teaching fundamentals about Bible authority, how to establish it, how to apply it, how to use the Bible, silence of the Scriptures, some things about the work of the church, the organization of the church. Again, trying to lay a foundation for hopefully some future work with them. Now, the next 2 days, or 3 days actually, the 21st and 23rd, was also with this congregation in a gospel meeting, full-day preaching actually, full-day classes. So I got to expand on some of that and do some more teaching. And there's those areas and additional areas as well. So I'm hopeful, very hopeful that having met some of those brethren, we're going to be able to go back there. The preacher at this location is the brother-in-law of Brother Chella, who is my translator. Brother Chella is a very faithful man. He's very solid. He's a good man. I commend him very much. I mean, he's helped Brother Wallace a great deal, worked with him. And, you know, I was really blessed to have him with me during this time. After we worshiped on the Lord's Day, on the 23rd, we drove up here to this area, spent the night, and the next day went to Gobi. Spent the day with the congregation there, about 50 or so in attendance, and again taught some fundamental lessons about Bible authority and using the Bible as our standard, and made some application as we did down here. The next day was a small village, congregation. I say it was a small village. The congregation, we probably again had between 40 and 50 there. It's very impressive, this little village. I got away and then I realized I didn't get any pictures of the congregation. You get caught up in the work and what you're doing, and how it is when you get over 50, you start forgetting things. So I forgot. Anyway, I was impressed with this congregation. They're just simple people. Just people of faith. They wanted to do God's will. And again, the influence they've been under has been in the sphere of institutionalism, but I don't think they really haven't had a whole lot of teaching. And so I'm encouraged by the possibility of being able to study with them more and preacher in both of these locations. Perhaps maybe in the future down here at Madurai, if the Lord provides us an opportunity. So that was, and then that night after a full day in Nazaryanur, we drove to an airport. I'm not sure where it was. It was up here somewhere a couple more hours, and we flew back to Chennai and spent the night, got there late, spent the night, left early. Well, actually got about 3 hours of sleep. Got up early, went to the airport, and flew over to another state. And here's a few of the pictures of some of those places before I go to the next place. There's the first Periopolum. There were about 50 there the first day. I don't know if you can see these. I'm sorry, they're kind of dark. Here I am with the church in Madurai. They had a sign, Joe Price, Steve Wallace, John Gentry, but we had that covered all week because I used it for a screen, so we put a sheet over that. So they pulled it out the last day, so that they were advertising. I was with the church in Gobi. I just can't see those very well. I put this in because I didn't have a picture of the congregation. This is the car that got us around a couple of days. That's an old ambassador from the British colonial era.
back in about the 1950s, I mean, it was like chug, 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 chug. It was about like the Tortoise and the Hare, you know, and the modern cars that went on past. But it was an adventure because these used to be the cars that all of the government officials rode in. And now, of course, people have them for personal taxis and things like that. They told me, yeah, they used to use these because they were big enough to where they could put a bulletproof armor in these doors. So, you know, the British weren't the most favorite people over there, so, at that time. Anyway, that got us around the last couple of days. Before we went to, I went to Maharashtra State. Now, we were there for 3 days, so we flew from Chennai up here, flew into Pune, and then from Pune drove to Lonavala, which is between Pune and Mumbai. Mumbai is a huge city, you're familiar with, old Bombay. Brethren that I talked to who lived in Mumbai, they still call it Bombay. We had a 3-day gathering at Lonavala. It seemed to be an annual event that we were invited to speak. An event that one of the men from Mumbai, a preacher there, arranges, and there were brethren from Mumbai and brethren from Pune who gathered there. Now, Brother Steve Wallace and John Gentry, we all were able to work there together for those 3 days. Steve and John were in different parts of Tamil Nadu when I was there, and so we were all three in different locations. We met in Chennai and we scattered, and now we came back together here at Lonavala. So I've been in country now for about a week when we went here. And these 3 days, again, were with brethren who have been in the sphere of institutionalism. So we had a prime opportunity for those 3 days to speak it extensively on the Bible authority, its establishment, its application, on institutionalism, centralization, the work of the local church. All of these things were covered. Sponsoring churches, benevolence, pattern of benevolence for the local church. All these issues we covered and had classes on. It's interesting to see the attitudes through the week. I tell you, and I already discussed this with the brother about the name. Of course, you know him. First day I was there, one of the brethren came up to me, and we had some time to be able to visit. He said, "Do you know?" Now, of course, he knew Steve Wallace here, but he said, "Do you know Stephen J. Wallace?" And I said, "Well, yes, I do." He actually preached for us, you know, while I was gone, when I made this trip. Of course, he said, "Well, he seems to be somebody who's causing trouble among the brethren." I said, "No, he's not. I commend his teaching to you. He's teaching the truth, and you need to study what's going on." Well, that was the first day. By the third day, that same man said, "I would like to meet with the three of you men, Steve, John, and me." And we spent the afternoon, about an hour and a half, with him and another man, another preacher who was there. And he said, "You know, what you taught us, what you said, we talked about institutionalism, liberalism, fellowship." He said, "What you said, this needs to be taken back to Mumbai, where he was from, and we need to teach that there too." So we saw some progress there, and that was good. And in fact, John, from there, John Gentry and Steve both, they went to Pune and then they went back to Mumbai. John had a 2-day debate in Mumbai with Jim Waldron. Jim Waldron's from Tennessee, who is extensively involved in the work in India among institutional churches of Christ. They had a 2-day discussion on limited benevolence and on centralization. Reading the notes and reading and knowing John as I got to meet him, he did an outstanding job. And there's opportunities there. Some rejected the truth. Some said we want to hear more. Hopefully some of those will be able to be followed up on. Here's a picture of Steve Wallace, Brother Shelafangam, John Gentry, and myself there at Lonavala. And here's one of the classes. You can see it
that we were going, that was going on. Lanavala was a hill station. They call it a hill station. It's kind of like a resort now. It used to be kind of like a fort, I suppose, 200-300 years ago. There's some pretty vistas there. Of course, there were always monkeys nearby. And there's one of the pictures of the monkeys that I took there. From Maharashtra, from this state, I flew the next day, early Saturday morning, down here in Bangalore to meet Mark Smith. And traveled there and met Mark, was waiting. He'd gotten there about a day and a half ahead of me to Bangalore. And so we met with the church on the Lord's Day and then had our preacher training classes the week of the 31st to the 4th of November. And more on that in a bit. We had 46 preachers attend the week. There's one of the photos. So you at least know that that's we were meeting there, and very encouraged by the classes. We asked the Indian preacher to speak one of the lessons, teach one of the lessons each day. And here's a photo of both Father Rao from Hyderabad who taught a lesson on that particular day. So very encouraged by that. More on that in a little while. From Bangalore, after that week in Bangalore, then Mark and I boarded a train and took about a 400-mile trip up here to Andhra Pradesh. Now, there's the train station, and I think we boarded around 4:30 in the afternoon, 4:30-ish, and we arrived in Guntur about 4 a.m. Sunday morning on the 6th. We went from this location by train up into this area. The map I'm going to show you then is up here is the Guntur district of Andhra Pradesh. Now, on that Lord's Day, we got a couple hours of sleep, got to the hotel, and got up and went about the day. We had worship at Papa Yakulam, and then also at Magala, and the gospel meeting that night in Magala. Now, Papa Yakulam is where Brother Francis works as evangelist, and Magala, where Lenin Babu does. We were staying in Guntur here, and so we would travel. It was about a 45-minute, 50-minute trip, close to that. Now, John Gentry, who had been in Mumbai and had that debate, John actually was now in, how do you say that? Narasapa, I'm not sure, I'm sorry. I can't pronounce that one either, but it's down here south of Magala. And that's where Brother Ambedkar preaches. And he worked there from the 3rd to the 8th Narasapet. That's where he was. Here's a couple of photos. Sunday morning. The brethren in several places, and this is one of them, when we arrived at this village, and it is a village. It was, you know, we traveled through and past cotton fields and pasture land and ended up on dirt road before we got to the village. They had a loudspeaker out. So the whole village, or at least a good section of it, is hearing what's going on. The singing and then the preaching. So as we preached with the interpreter, we were able to preach to, there were about 50 to 55, I think there were, in my notes, remind me, I think that's right, about 50 at this location on Sunday morning, and there's one of the gatherings, that's part of the gathering. They had some outside the door and out here outside, because there was, this is a fairly small area that the congregation meets in and worships. From there, after we had lunch, food generously supplied by the brethren at one of the homes, we went to Magala, back to Magala, where Lenin Babu preaches, and here's the gospel meeting time that they had set up. But before that, we had the worship in that afternoon there at the congregation. There was about 70-75 of the afternoon worship, and there was probably about, they said, probably about 140 that night, because not only were the folks inside, but then outside, out here where the lights are, there was also a good crowd. So, and they had loudspeakers as well. So what we were saying inside, they were all hearing very well outside. And that'll come up for the next night too, something to tell you there. So we had good crowds there in Magala,
the brethren again, as in every place, were very warm, accepting, and encouraging, and attentive. And as is the common custom,
of course, sitting on the floor for the most part.
The women generally will sit, and the children will be in front. The men here in the back sometimes will be side to side.
Rarely do you just see a clear mixture without any definition. It's usually the women on one side, the men on the other, or all the women and children in the front, and the men in the back.
Their custom. On November 7th, Monday morning, after the meeting that night, we got up and went to Gadavara Poly, which is up in this area right here, about an hour and a half trip. This is where Brother Amos Rao preaches, and his son, Vijay Sagar, preaches in a nearby village, Nagavaram, and those brethren came and joined us in this study all morning at that location. That afternoon, we went to Vanayapalam. Palam means village, so Padia. Vanaya, but Pala means village, so that's the way they do their language. We spent the afternoon in that village. Again, both of these places, we had about 50 that morning and about 40, 45 that afternoon, and a meeting in Manala that night. We came back, and we had about 80 that night. Now, I might mention, I was going to say something about it later, but this Sunday, after we had the afternoon worship and before the night service, I went back and had a private meeting with the preacher over here in Tamina Poly. More on that in a minute. So that was a full day Sunday and again on Monday. Here we are in the first village on Monday morning the 7th and the second village as well. Brother Oliver Rao works at both of these villages. Brother Daganatum works at the second village. The man said, "Tell Dan hi from this village." You probably remember from the preacher training class earlier in the year. He's a rural physician assistant. I don't remember his name, but big smile. You see his face. I believe it's this man right here. You can see his face. I'll show it to you later. They purchased some land. I was impressed with it back here behind where this was just a little lean-to. This location here is. It's just a little open area. All this area over here is open where I'm taking this picture from. But back probably 300 feet from that location, they bought some property here. The church had bought it. And that impressed me that they've saved the money, they bought this property, and they're planning a future building there. They didn't ask us for money for a building or anything like that. They said, "Look, this is what we're doing. We cleared this off." And I was very encouraged by the work that's going on there in Bubba Paul. That night, we went back to Madala, had a gospel meeting about the end of the service. And, I know what I was going to tell you about that. I told you we have loudspeakers Sunday night in our meeting. We walked up to the location, got out of the car, started walking to the location, and we hear the loudspeaker going. It's the Catholics. They turned on their loudspeaker. They had stuff going on. And then there was another loudspeaker of Hindu music going on. So we had the battle of loudspeakers that night. Finally, it was distracting somewhat. Mark was the first one up. He got to preach through the distraction, and it stopped about halfway through his lesson. So I got one without that, but I got time to preach without that. But that's life in a village in India. The next morning, we went to Santa Napoli and had a preacher's class all day. Started out early in the morning, about 9 o'clock, 8:39. We had about 25 present, but by mid-afternoon, we had a total of 67 present. And so that was very encouraging by the time. From Santa Napoli, after that training class, that evening went to Aburu, north of there, where Brother C.H. Thomas preaches. There's a picture of some of the preacher classes that we mentioned. And in Thompson Poly, this was an outside gathering of about 250 to 300 people in Aburu, where Brother Thomas, C.H. Thomas preaches. The congregation is very small, but
In fact, he lives 50 kilometers away from this village. He goes there twice a week. He's preaching in another place as well as preaching in this place. Some of the women that were sitting up front, in fact, I got a little bit of insight, they're Hindu. There's a couple of women there, at least, that were Hindu, they're close to obeying the gospel, but they've been threatened by their husbands and the Hindu elements that they did that, they'd be cut off and cut out. So we pray for them and pray for that work. It was very encouraging there
to be able to preach to that group. Most of the people, I'd say the church here probably only counts 10 to 15. Most of this gathering was either Hindu or denominationalists present there. Next morning we got up and went to, after we got to Gundur, we went back about a 2 hour drive to Garadala, where Brother Jeremiah preaches. Had about 45 in attendance. Then from there, after a day of work, we left about 5 o'clock, drove back to Gundur, visited with Brother Yeshuratman, and that's his wife and daughter. He also has a son in that picture. He preaches in Gundur. Had for many years and got to meet him and some of the other brethren there. They invited us to his home and have a meal, and we were very happy to eat some more. So I love the food, and it was good to be with them. Last day in Andhra Pradesh, we went to Palipalam, which was about a 2.5 hour trip to the sea, to the east side, to the seaside. And again, around 50 people were present that day. A good mix of men and women, about equal number, were present. And there's Mark preaching that particular lesson in the church building there. And there's Mark and myself and some of the members of the church. We had about 15, 20 minutes. We got to walk down to the sea. And there's the beach. And got to see the sea, the Bay of Bengal, there on the east side of India. From Andhra Pradesh from Gundur, we caught a train and about 10:30 at night, and about 2 p.m. the next day we got back to Bangalore. So had a long train ride, coldest trip I've ever been on. It was air conditioned, but there was no thermostat. It was just frigid all night. They had a wool blanket and everything, so it wasn't enough. It was just frigid all night. Anyway, we finally got to Bangalore, spent the rest of Friday there, Friday night, and then Saturday got up very early and drove about 6 hours over to Bhadravati and had a 2-day gospel meeting there. That afternoon, met with some of the brethren, some of the men of the congregation, spent some time talking about their work, and had a meeting that night, had about around 80 people present. We had at least 8 local preachers, denominational preachers there that night, had a chance to preach about the church to them. And Mark had a lesson on baptism, so hope they can believe they heard the gospel and the truth about such thing. Next day, Lord's Day, we worshiped at the church there. There's a sign they had out in front of their building, their location. After that meeting and a meal and a visit to about 3 different homes, everybody wants to come to their home. And of course, they're being hospitable and very kind to us. But finally, we got back on the road, got back to Bangalore. Mark had about 2 or 3 hours of rest, and then he had a 3:30 a.m. flight back home, and I left about 8 the next morning. So that was a trip. There's Bhadravati, and you can see it. With the brethren there. It was a fast trip. I mean, time was flying. There really was not much downtime except the train ride. I'm not sure I'll do that again, but it was an experience. I did it once. I can say I've done it. Next time I'll probably fly or maybe car, but depends on the length. The audiences and the messages. The first 10 days I told you, Tamil Nadu, we really had 6 different groups who were all within the orbit of institutionalism. And so the approach that we took, 4 churches, and there was the preacher meeting with men from a number of different churches, and then there was the gathering in Lonavala up there in Maharashtra, that the work
being able to address liberalism and institutionalism. There's a whole new door that's opened up as a result of this. And in large part, that's because of the work that Brother Steve Wallace has done in Chennai for the last 2 or 3 years as he's visited and worked with Brother Chela Thangam there and others in that area. And since then, these different locations were added. And we went to, we probably had a dozen different places that the three of us went to over that first week in Tamil Nadu. I'm very hopeful we're going to have more opportunities to go back there. I would very much like to go to Madurai and have a preacher training class similar to what we've done some in Bangalore, if the Lord wills. It's just very heavily influenced with institutionalism. The church-supported preacher schools are everywhere. In Chennai, Madurai, and all those areas in the south. Very, very strong influence. So we talked about those, as I mentioned earlier, to you, and I'm very hopeful that we may be able to arrange something like that. In fact, Brother Steve Wallace, the 1st of February, is going back to Tamil Nadu, going back to Madurai, and he's going to be there teaching in some of the same places that I was, and so I'm thankful for that. I'm hopeful that that's going to continue to spread the truth in that area. It's going to be a battle because those who are entrenched in it aren't going to stand still, and that's what we saw with the debate that Brother John Gentry had with Jim Walden. Some of the brethren in Mumbai called Jim Walden, who was in the country, and he flew over there to meet John. So it wasn't that, you know, he just happened to be in Mumbai and they got together. He flew over there to meet John. You know, so, and the challenge what's being taught, understand, we are by some being viewed as troublemakers coming over there when we go over and start talking about and studying these things. We're the troublemaker because we're going to talk about Bible authority and the Bible pattern about the work and organization of the church. But we're not the troublemaker. And we had to deal with that some years back, and we'll continue to address it if we need to. It's not a troublemaker to preach what the Bible pattern is and call people back to that. The troubler of Israel is the one who goes beyond that pattern. And those elements were addressed fully, and at least the minds were open to study, and hopefully more too. So we have to be thankful for that. I was very encouraged about the preacher meetings in Bangalore, the classes. I just really think that in some ways it was one of the best classes that we had. We reinforced Bible authority. We taught at length about liberalism. We talked about the organizational corruption of directors in Churches of Christ. It's a problem over there. And with some of these men who, you know, it's very obvious that we got their attention with that, and they could see very clearly and plainly that there's no Bible authority for a director over churches and over preachers. So they're very receptive and accepting of God's word about those things. Andhra Pradesh, we exhorted on a wide range of topics. I'm concerned that there are some brethren who are being attacked and over the influence of liberalism. It seems to be creeping back among some of the brethren. And we dealt with some of that privately as well as publicly. I had a private meeting with a man, B.T. Knighted, that I first met in 06 or 07 when I was there in Kurnool, and who's gone back and having fellowship now with men who are involved in liberalism, no doubt. And we had about a 45-minute discussion trying to get him to see the error in his participation with it. He was not accepting of it. He's an influential man with some of the men in that area, or have been. By the end of the trip, though, we were able to be pretty clear and plain with those that he's had some influence upon that they just cannot have fellowship with him as long as he's in fellowship with those who are teaching error. And follow-up on that has been encouraging. So I'm thankful that at least in that area, some of that's been addressed. By the way, Brother Jerry Parks from Louisville, Kentucky, came to the same area right after we left. And Brother Parks had a similar study, not only privately but publicly, with the brethren on some of these same things with B.T. Niven. So he reinforced the same truths, and that was a big help, I know, to some follow-up messages. We addressed a problem of conversion. It was one of the things, and I was really glad that we were able to visit among the churches. One of the things that we began to see is there is a very important need to be teaching the brethren about being completely converted to Christ. We know the verses. We can't serve two masters. We need to count the cost. We need to pay the price. Jesus said, except you love whoever hates father and mother, unless you hate father and mother, son and daughter, and even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. Pardon me, be my disciple. We saw a need for some of that very basic teaching. What we found as we visited among the brethren was that there has been over the years a lot of emphasis upon baptizing people, but apparently not a whole lot of emphasis after that on growth, or for that matter on the repentance that should have come before the baptism. And that's unfortunate. You know, you read some of the reports of some of these men who preach over there, and I'm not talking about faithful gospel preachers. I'm talking about men who are in this liberal sphere, and they talk about thousands of baptisms and tens of thousands. And you wonder, well, where's all those churches? Where are all those brethren? And what you find out is there's a lot of emphasis about people being baptized, but there hadn't been a whole lot of teaching about repentance and about conversion and about the new life. And so being able to visit among the brethren really helped us begin to see some of those things. And let me show you a couple of areas where we address specifically and where we see this. Some of the remnants of Hinduism continue to be among the brethren. It needs to be addressed. And we did address it. We encouraged our brethren to be addressing it as they have, as they preach and work among the people.
You ever see anybody wear the little dot in the middle of their forehead right there? The women, maybe over here, but especially in India, you see it all over the place. Well, that's called a bindi. There's another name for it, too. But in Hinduism, it represents the third eye. An eye of wisdom is a symbol of enlightenment and an eye into the soul of Hinduism. Well, we found out in talking with some of the brethren that it was not uncommon for liberal preachers, for preachers in churches of Christ, to be teaching the brethren that it's okay to wear that. That this symbol of enlightenment is clearly, you see somebody wearing that, and you say, well, that person's Hindu. There's no doubt. That's a Hindu symbol. Children wearing it, and even some grown-ups wearing it. We addressed it publicly. Sometimes with women wearing it right there. Some of the children, too, needs to be addressed. They need to begin to see and realize that there needs to be a break with those things.
Another area was about registering with the government, with the Indian government.
Registering with the government has to do with being eligible for government benefits, being eligible. And it's based on a caste system, and they have an order about so much eligibility based on what particular caste you're in. But you see, that registration affects, if you're Hindu, then you're in one particular area, and if you're Christian, then you're in another. And of course, when somebody obeys the gospel, they're no longer Hindu, are they? But we found and know that there are brethren who continue, who were never taught. They were never taught. You're supposed to confess Christ. You're not a Hindu anymore. And so the effort to and sometimes without any knowledge that just goes on unaddressed, but it needs to be addressed. It needs to be discussed, and we did privately and publicly. Privately with some men.
and publicly as well as we talk about these things. Declaration of faith is a demand of repentance, and it's a dedicated example of discipleship.
Understand that this registration, as best I could understand it, was not that
was about making yourself eligible for benefits, not necessarily automatically receiving them, but making yourself eligible if you apply for them.
Nevertheless, this is an area that we saw some progress. More needs to occur. I believe more will occur. But it's certainly an area where it's going to occur as people teach the truth about confessing Christ and knowing that
we have to be willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Christ.
In a Hindu society that's been Hindu for millennia, thousands of years,
some of these fundamental things that we would take for granted are things that need to be instructed and taught very clearly to help us see that application. And we try to do that and keep on doing that.
Back to the classes in Bangalore. As I said, I was very pleased with the group that we had. Very pleased with that.
One of the Indian brethren preached one lesson each day. Brother Salman Raju taught a very,
very excellent lesson on this very thing that I was just telling you about conversion to Christ, about the need to be identified as such. Brother Baba Rao, Brother Silas spoke.
Another brother too. I'm sorry, escaped me exactly who that was. I had to go back and check my notes.
I believe we need to, it's my opinion, in trying to assess how can we be most effective, that the classes in Bangalore may have just about run their course, and that we can increase some effectiveness to give some real consideration to trying to localize these preacher classes more in the future for several reasons. One is being closer to where the men live is going to be more economical. It's going to cost us a lot less money to arrange to meet with men closer to where they live. Because essentially, we've been bringing men from Andhra Pradesh 200-400 miles down to Bangalore. We can do better than that economically and for the money involved. There's something else too, more than just the economics of it and logistics of it, but also the effectiveness of it in being able to be closer to where the men live. You see, there have been about 300 preachers since 2006 that we've had in those classes. About 300 preachers since 2006. I'm concerned that as time goes by, many of them are at the very least still straddling the fence on liberalism. If not, some of them certainly continuing in it. The closer we can get to where these men are and the works they're doing, the more effective we can be in understanding just what the need is and appeal to them, exhort them, rebuke if need be, call them to the Word of God to help be as effective as possible in teaching them the truth and encouraging them to stand fast in that truth. We can do that. And there's a place for preacher training classes. But the closer we can get to where men work, I'm convinced the more effective we can be in helping them stand fast and do the work they need to be doing. Let me illustrate from the Word of God. Second John 12. John wrote an epistle, but he said, "Having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, so my joy may be full." Well, we're face-to-face with the brethren in the classes in Bangalore, granted. To be able to go face-to-face at the churches or to be face-to-face in the same area where the preachers are is just going to increase our opportunity. I'm confident of that as we have. I think this trip has indicated that. Let me share what I mean by that. Visiting the churches was by far the most encouraging part for me personally, and I think for Mark too. Being able to go to these different places, being able to be with the brethren, being able to see with our eyes and observe the work that was going on. You know, when the church in Jerusalem heard about the gospel going to Antioch, they sent Barnabas up there.
They had a man on the ground who went up and he kept doing the work.
Being able to visit with the churches, we're able to observe and see
just what's going on, what is needed. We were able to see the women with the bendy right there. You know, we were able to see what's going on. Are there very many men here? Are they teaching the gospel? Are these men growing? Are the women growing? What's going on?
Learning more about what the need is. And here's some of the things we observed. And by the way, our observation was not just from us.
We had a seasoned preacher with us. And that was invaluable. Brother Dina Dow traveled with us to Andhra Pradesh. Brother Dina Dow has been preaching. Well, he's my age. And he's been preaching most of his life. And he helped point some things out to us. Were very helpful and important. Things that you don't know or see if you're not really in the culture and know the people as well as someone like that does. That's a benefit.
Benefit that we need to see that we can use effectively to help us become more effective ourselves. Brethren, the needs are not any different than anyplace else.
It's just being able to know what they are. What the particular needs are. They're the same all over the world.
They need to grow and be grounded just like you and I need to be. Just like we need to be here, Colossians 2, 6, and 7.
So we need to, but we were able to help see the specific areas where that growth is needed.
You know, we were able to learn that what they needed was to continue to emphasize being converted to Christ and not to men, not to a preacher, but to Christ.
Again, I say these are not new needs, but being able to be on the ground, to be able to visit churches, to be able to see that, you know, in these villages,
everybody knows everybody. You're going to either live your faith,
or people are going to know it, and it's going to have an impact. You know, sometimes we think we can kind of get away with
just being a Christian part of the time and doing our own thing the rest of the time, and nobody knows. Well, again, somebody always knows. The Lord does. For sure. You know, they need encouragement for living their faith in the villages.
It has a direct impact on the effectiveness, and of course, it does for us too. Not a different lesson, not something that we don't need, but it's something that being on the ground, being able to see, being able to get your hands dirty and do that work one-on-one and in a closer environment, very effective and helpful, I believe, for the work that we're trying to accomplish. I know the brethren were encouraged by the work, and I was certainly encouraged by being able to be a part of it.
We learned and be able to see, you know, brethren need to be working with the men in the congregation to grow for elders, to grow to be servants, to be deacons, to preachers.
We're able to see what work is being done, where we can exhort and encourage them in that work, and we did all those things as well. So being able to visit the churches is great. I think a great benefit that while we were able to visit one or two in the past, the emphasis of this particular trip and the time spent with the churches, I think just has opened up a whole new door of opportunity and, Lord willing, effective exhortation and work that's going to enhance and Lord willing, spread His word among the brethren in those areas where they are. Very quickly, as our time's about up, let me talk to you about the future for just a minute. On that basis, I'm going to hopefully be able to have, I already had some preliminary discussion, but this will be things that Dan and I'll talk about, Mark, anybody else. But I'd really like to be able to, at least for myself, to work on having a preacher training class next time I go to India, perhaps up around Hyderabad in Jethurla. I've talked about that for several years. That's where Brother Dana Dow preaches. And there's about 30 to 40 preachers that we can have for a week right there. And that'd be a benefit, I believe, in that area. We haven't done that. That's up north of Kanul, where we used to have our classes. That's a real possibility for the next year. And then also from there to visit some churches.
in our next trip up around Hyderabad and over around north of Gunsore, where Brother Nehu, Brother Baba Rao lives, Brother Nehu, and maybe have 2 or 3 days visits in these locations and some other places, perhaps Gunsore with Brother Esher Rotman, maybe some others that we don't even know yet. The brethren in Bob Robert really want us to return there for 2 or 3 or 4 days. Really, they like a week. They're very encouraging and urging us to come back to Bob Robin. So that's going to be a possibility. Down in the South, with among some of the institutionally influenced brethren and churches, we hope to have more work. I talked to the elders a little bit. We'll be talking a little more. It may be that as time goes by, I may work toward, instead of having 3 or 4 gospel meetings a year here in America, to spend some of my meeting time on another trip to India. We'll see. I don't know for sure yet, but the work is expanding. It certainly is as a result of this trip, not just now in Bangalore and Andhra Pradesh, but here in Tamil Nadu as well. And even up here, 1,900 miles from Bangalore, up here in Shillong, there's a city. Brother Thane Geit, I think that's how you pronounce his name. We spoke on the phone. I've known of him for 2 or 3 years, four more years probably. There's a congregation there. In fact, there are several others that are sound congregations. There's a lot of institutionalism present up there as well. But I think there's probably some strong opportunities and possibilities maybe someday to visit there as well. So, doors are open. And while the past 5 years we've worked to focus on teaching preachers, and we focused on teaching these preachers about the errors of liberalism, and that was needed and necessary, and that work has to go on. There's also growing opportunities in other places to do the same thing, and opportunities to visit the villages and towns where the churches are and where the brethren live, to exhort and encourage them too. Lord willing, we can do that more in the future too. What we want to close on is what I started with. We need to all remember that this is the Lord's work. It's not my work. It's not Bobby Holmes' work. It's not Dan's work or Mark Smith's work. It's not Steve Ross's work or John Gentry's work. It's the Lord's work. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul said, "If Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord, as I also do." That's our objective, is simply do the work of the Lord. As the apostle has set an example for us, and to know that when we labor, it's not in vain in the Lord, when we do the Lord's work, and that all of us together, whether we're spreading the gospel here, whether it's local, whether it's in this region, whether it's in America, whether it's overseas, if we're teaching the gospel and supporting that, it's the Lord's work, it's not our work, we're just servants, we're just workers together, doing the Lord's work. And I appreciate, again, the chance that you give me to be a part of that work, and I hope that you can appreciate also being a part of that work. You are a part of that work. You're a part of being able for us to be able to go and do this work, and we're thankful for that. And I hope that this has helped you learn a little bit more about it. If you'd like to read more about it, it's on my blog. That's joerprice.blogspot.com. I'll give that to you if you want it, if you don't have it already. We wrote reports throughout the trip, gives you some more detail, and I hope that you got those. If you didn't get those by email, make sure I can get you on that list, and you can get them, Lord willing, next time we go. Well, we'll close with that. I appreciate your attention. If you have any other questions, we're happy to discuss it, and hope that you've been encouraged by it. We were encouraged to be able to be a part of the work. If you're a Christian and you need to respond to the gospel, we hope that you'll do that by repenting of any sin that's in your life. If you're not a Christian, you need to respond to the gospel call to be saved, to repent and be baptized in Christ. Opportunity is yours to obey the gospel now and any time, because God is always ready and He's always calling through His gospel to come home, to come back to Him, and to be saved in His Son. Won't you come all together? We stand and we sing.